Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we take care of mom and dad? How do we preserve a lifetime's work? I got some stories to tell you in a little bit you're going to want to stick around for. How do we preserve what we worked a lifetime for? How do we make sure that at the end of life, if mom or dad or my husband or wife or whoever it is begins to fail, that we can make sure that they're taken care of? Again, welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. My name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host right here, and I have been for 18 years right here on KFBK, the longest running show in California, if not the country, on senior issues. Again, glad to have you with us. Lots to talk about. Remember, here we go. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're doing. I do not have a securities license. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento, California. I have a notary, I don't know, something else, and I can't sell you the Encyclopedia Britannica. So if they even had one,
They're out of business.
They're out of business, okay, unless they have an online version, and I can't sell you that. So everything we talk about here is our opinion only and should not be taken as legal or tax advice. Oh, I'm not a CPA either or a tax advisor. And also throughout the show, you're going to probably hear pounding and banging. It's okay. We're sitting here recording this while they're working on the building. So every now and then, if you hear weird sounds, or if you hear a scream from time to time, it's okay. It's just they're working on the building. So it's what happens when you do live radio. Those of you that are watching this on our recorded on TV version, hello. Lots to talk about. I'm joined this morning as often and usual lately by my friend and ace elder law attorney, Mr. Dustin McFarland. Mr. McFarland, introduce yourself. Tell people who you are, why you do it, and why you're good at it.
Well, good morning. I'm Dustin, and I am an elder law attorney. And I don't know why I do it. I do it because this is what I love to do. I've been working with seniors for a long, long time, and this is just, like I said, what I love to do. And why I'm good at it, you know, I think part of it is I learned how to do it from guys like you who had been doing it a long time and kept the client first and made sure that they got the help they needed. And so, I don't know, that's me, I guess. And again, like you said, what I say here is my opinion only. It's not legal advice for anyone's specific circumstance. If you want legal advice, come on in.
And also, just this is what's another thing we have to say. Otherwise, somebody gets torqued at us, folks. We're not partners. We're not in business together. We know each other. We do work with clients. We have clients in common. But Dustin does his thing, and I do my thing. We're actually in his office right now. It's luxurious, of course.
Of course, yes.
He is an attorney. What do you expect? So anyhow, I want to
might be a stretch there.
I want to start with a story. And by the way, our next workshop is coming up on the 26th. I forgot to bring my calendar with me, but I'm pretty sure it's the 26th.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's Saturday the 26th. Our last workshop, we actually had too many people show up. We had to go find chairs. So we're going to limit this one. We have to. We just don't have enough room, folks. So if you want to get to our next workshop, and I already have 11 people coming that have already signed up. So if you want to get to the next workshop on the 26th, it's not like anything you have ever been to. And it's not like anything you're ever going to go to again, because you're going to hear things that nobody else wants to tell you or will tell you because they're trying to be polite. And my mommy and daddy taught me to be polite, but I am forthright, and Dustin's the same way. We're going to tell you what the real issues are and solutions and difficulties with the issues of aging. So with that in mind, if you haven't signed up for the workshop on the 26th, you can call my office at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Leave me your name and phone number, and I'll call you back, and I'll send you some tickets. You can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com. That's A-S-S ETSANDAGING.com. And there's a place there where you can sign up for an appointment or you can sign up for an upcoming workshop. And you can go there and we'll get you tickets. You have to have tickets to get in. The tickets will also have the address. Again, that's the 26th of September at 10:30 in the morning. It is free. And if you would like to come to that, you just need to get a hold of me so I can get you some tickets. I mentioned on last week's show that my mom was ill. Since that show, my mom has died.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And she was 95 years old, and it was okay. I mean, you know, one of the things that happens, there's a certainty, one of the certainties in life is that when you're born, you will die. And Dustin and I have been around this long enough to understand that certainty. And so my mom was 95, and I realized the other day that she had been a part of my life for every day of my life until the day she died. That's if you stop and think about that for a minute, she'd been a part of my life for my entire 70 years. But one of the things I want to talk about is before she died, that things really got bad. We thought for a while that she might be going into a nursing home. Now, I was in Arizona because that's where she lived and that's where she died. In Arizona, and we're going to talk about this over the rest of our time together, but I want to set this up a little bit. Arizona has rules that come out of the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005 that was signed into law by President Bush in February of 2006. We are the only state in the union that does not use those rules. And I want to talk about some of the things I discovered about those rules while I was in Arizona. And the reason you're going to say, oh, Bob, we're not in Arizona. Well, the reason why is because those same rules will be coming here. Because California will adopt Deficit Reduction Act of 05. We don't know when exactly, but they've already drafted proposed regulations. And we know for a fact that they're going to do this, don't we, Dustin?
We know it's coming. We just don't know when.
But we know it's coming. So we're going to take a break in a minute. It'll be a good time for you to call and get into the workshop on the 26th. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the implications of preserving what your mom and dad worked 50 years for. And I want to talk about that in some detail, and I want to talk about what's coming to California. So stick around. Give me a call during the break, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Get into the workshop on the 26th, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. We've been talking over the last several weeks about preserving a legacy, and it's a really big issue, folks. I mean, it's a huge issue, and let me explain it a little bit. And again, I'm talking about my mom. Before my mom died recently, we were looking at having to put her in a nursing home. And being familiar with rules in some states, but not all states, I made a phone call to somebody that I was referred to in Arizona that does a lot of Medicaid planning in Arizona. They have a different name for it in Arizona. Medicaid and Medi-Cal are the same things, folks. They're different. And they're different. They're not different. They're the same thing. They're different than Medicare. Don't get that confused. Medicare is health insurance you get when you're 65. Medicaid, Medi-Cal has a program that helps take care of older people if they need long-term care. But one of the things that I learned while I was there, and remember I said earlier that in California we don't use, do we?
No, we don't use the DRA rules. We use our own rules that are outdated, they're draft regs, but we don't use the federal rules.
And in fact, we have rules in probate code, we have rules in welfare and institutions code, we have rules everywhere.
Well, and quite frankly, and this is amazing to say out loud, but our rules are much easier than the rest of the country.
Yes. If you have to go into a nursing home somewhere, California right now, believe it or not, is probably it.
Yeah. And speaking specifically about what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks is preserving that legacy, or, hey, let's call it what it is, making sure that the kids get the inheritance rather than the government gets it. It's easier to do it here than anywhere else.
I want to talk about something I read actually this morning. And again, if you hear pounding and banging from time to time, folks, just ignore it. They're working on the building. So it was that there are currently 94 million Americans out of work in the United States. 94 million. In August, 690,000. In August, 690,000 native-born Americans lost their jobs. At the same time,
94 million out of work?
There are 94 million Americans right now who are out of work.
That's like a third of the country.
Yes, who don't work. So, again, every time you hear that the unemployment rate is 5%, you decide. At the same time, in August, 690,000 native-born Americans lost their job. I'm going something with all of this. At the same time, 250,000 non-native-born Americans obtained jobs in the United States in the month of August. Now, I'm saying this for this reason, and I've said this before. When I'm 70 years old, when I turned 23 years old or 22, whatever it was, I bought a house. My wife and I bought a house. We bought our first house. It was like $22,000, $23,000. I don't remember. Okay? It wasn't a lot of money. My point in this is a lot of your children and grandchildren are not going to be able to afford a house. A lot of your children and grandchildren are going to be dependent upon what mom or dad or grandma and grandpa are able to pass on to them after death. It's a fact. You can believe me or not believe me. I don't care. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, but I'm telling you right now that that is an absolute truth. So preserving what we've worked a lifetime for and being able to pass that on to the next generation is going to become more important than ever. And it's going to come down to a very easy equation. Okay? Draw a line across the top of a piece of paper. On the top of that line, on the left side, write, leave it to the government. On the top of that line, on the right side, write, leave it to my family. Now what I want you to do is under the leave it to the government, write all the reasons why you want to leave what you own to the government. If you've got, that's fine. Under the right-hand side of the line, under the leave it to my family, I want you to write all the reasons why you want your family to have it. When my mother died, my dad died 15 years ago. When my mother died, she had $7,000 in the bank and a little house in Phoenix, worth about $175,000. A little house, little two-bedroom, two-bath house, living room, little yard in Phoenix. That's what she and my dad accumulated during their lifetime. My mom died at 95. My dad was 80-something. I'd have to 84, I think, when he died. So in all of their time together, that's what they managed to accumulate. My mother lived comfortably. We made sure she lived comfortably. She had enough money to take care of her needs and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. It was an easy decision for me to make as we began to look at whether or not my mom was going to wind up in long-term care or not. And that decision was simple. My job was to make sure that if my mom needed long-term care, her money and that little house that she and my dad worked 50 years for did not go to the government. Instead, went to her family and the people that she wants to have it. One of those people is actually a grandchild who can't afford to buy a house.
Which is very common.
Which is very common.
And I just got to say, when jumping in, that when people come in just to do a simple will, never once have I had somebody say, you know, I'd like to leave a percentage of my estate to the government. Never. Never.
And everything we do here is predicated on the fact that my job, and I don't want to put words in Dustin's mouth, but I've talked to him enough and been around him enough, that my job and his job is to make sure that to the best of our ability and the best of your ability, if you're serious about it, that if you at the end of your life need long-term care, now stop and think about this for a minute, folks. My mom was facing $9,000 a month in a nursing home, and she had a total of $7,000 to her name, not counting the house. If you're faced with that, if you're faced with looking at $100,000 or $120,000 a year in long-term care costs, you have a very simple choice. And the choice is,
give it to your family or give it to the government, right?
Absolutely. Now, many people will say this, Mr. Attorney. Well, I have a will, and in my will says I've left it to my children.
Yeah, good luck with that. It does not, the will doesn't matter. What matter, because creditors come first. And so if you have creditors and we haven't properly planned to make sure your kids actually get what you tried to leave them, then it is very possible that if you need long-term care, the government will get what you have intended for your children to receive.
So I think something that a lot of people don't understand, does a will actually transfer, this is a trick question, does a will actually transfer anything to anybody upon death?
No, a will does nothing. A will is merely a letter to a judge in a probate court that states your intentions. And your intentions are, after all of your creditors have been repaid, then the kids can take whatever's left. That's how it works.
Now, let's talk about who one of those creditors might be.
Yeah, let's talk.
In our world, if Mildred or Harry or whoever it is winds up needing long-term care, winds up needing a nursing home at the end of life, and they have a little money, maybe a little house, and they can't afford $100,000 a year for a nursing home, okay? They can't afford that. They can't afford $100,000 a month for a nursing home. Then, and they need Medi-Cal to help pay for that. Who becomes a potential creditor?
The state of California. State of California is going to be a creditor. And in fact, whenever we do a will or trust administration or do a probate, we always have to send two letters. One to the Franchise Tax Board, asking if all the taxes are paid up and current for the deceased person. And the second letter that we send is to the Department of Health. And we have to make sure there's not a Medi-Cal claim against the estate.
Because the state of California has become a creditor. And remember my little line that I drew, top line on left right. Side. If the family hasn't done what they need to do, even though they probably filled everything out underneath the heading that said, leave it to my family, if they haven't done it correctly, if they haven't done it properly, if they haven't done it with forethought, then who's likely to get a big chunk of what mom and dad had if we needed long-term care?
Yeah, the state of California. I've been in the probate court on multiple occasions, not with my clients, but watching other attorneys deal with their situations. and you'll see an estate trying to be distributed, maybe $150,000 or $200,000 in the estate, you know, after they sell the house and get, pile up all the remaining assets. And lo and behold, a $60,000 or $80,000 creditor's claim comes in from the Department of Healthcare Services. It's not uncommon. It happens all the time. And this was completely unintended. The family had no idea that they were going to be hit with a 40 or 50% of the estate, you know, a bill that they had to repay. And they were forced to repay it. There was no options.
These are the kinds of things we talk about at the workshop, in addition to here every Sunday. Our next workshop is on the 26th of September. It's at 10:30 in the morning. It's free. You have to have tickets to get in. It's right here in Sacramento. Call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Get tickets. Get to the workshop. We'll be back in just a minute or two. Don't go away, right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. We're talking about protecting a lifetime's work. Now, I have to tell you that there are a lot of people out there, because I've run into them and Dustin's run into them, who take great umbrage with what we do. There are a lot of people out there, lots of them, more than you would think, who think that leave it to the government column should be filled with the words everything. There are lots of people who find it appalling that we would want to help people protect what they worked a lifetime for from the government.
And I'm not sure when you walk. To me, it's the same as when you walk into your CPA. I mean, Bob, you have somebody who helps you with your taxes, I presume.
Yes, I do.
And do you walk in and just say, you know what, I'd like to pay the top dollar, without any deductions, without any exemptions, without any tax credits, just here's my top gross income, calculate my taxes on that. I mean, do you have that conversation?
I think it was Will Rogers. I think Will Rogers, because it couldn't have been Mark Twain because there was no income tax. I think Will Rogers said the tax return could be really simplified, that all you would have to do is the bottom line would simply say, whatever you earned, give it to the government. I think that was Will Rogers' idea for a tax return.
I've never met anybody who contributes $3 to the presidential campaign.
No, and I ask people all the time, do you deduct your home interest from your tax? Well, of course I do.
Child tax credits,
child tax credits, business deductions.
This is the same
property
thing.
Taxes.
Exactly. So if you want to reduce your liability to the government, then you plan for it. And no different than when your CPA tells you what to do in the coming year to reduce your tax liability, this is the same thing. You got to plan for it.
And I know for a fact that there are a lot of people out there and you know this for a fact,
yeah,
who have not come in to see us, who have not done anything about this, because they've been to 27 advisors. In fact, I called a lady yesterday who had been to one of our recent workshops, and she'd left an appointment request. And I said, you left me an appointment request. Would you like to come in and see me? And she said, well, I think I'm okay for right now. I talked to a couple people, and they tell me I'm fine. And I just, part of me wanted to say, please define fine, whatever that means. But I understood that at the end of the day, she didn't care. At the end of the day, she wasn't sure. At the end of the day, she didn't want to be sure.
No, she's on the line. She's on the path that says, I hope nothing goes wrong.
Yes.
I don't have to spend any time in a care facility. I don't need help. That's all of us. We all want that. But what if that doesn't happen? And if so, if her case, if that doesn't happen, she's going to have huge problems, and her family will lose everything.
Absolutely, and it will be exactly that. Is because there are a lot of people listening to me right now who have been listening to me for over 5 years, and all along the way, you have said, you know, Mildred, we really should get in and do something about that. You know, we really have to get in and do something about it. But in the back of your head, you don't. And the reason why is because in the back of your head, you believe that somehow it's going to all work out okay.
Well, and 60% of Americans die in healthcare facilities. Couple that with the fact that we now have 30% of Californians on Medi-Cal. Give me a break. Every year, this is going to affect more and more and more people.
And it's going to affect people who don't. I don't have time to go into it right now, and it's better with a chart, but all the people in California, there are a lot of people in California who are called dual eligibles. Those are people who are on Medicare and Medi-Cal at the same time.
Yeah, it's easy. They're old, so they get Medicare. They're poor, so they get Medi-Cal.
And they don't know that they're going to be subject to an estate recovery. They really don't know because they're not in a nursing home and they think it's all going to work out okay.
Yeah, they have a little house, and that's all the probably they have is a little house, but it's going to go away and they're going to give that house to the government.
You have to decide. We're going to talk about this a little more, but you have to decide which column you want to be under and which column you want your money to go to, your family or the state of California. I know that for my mom, I chose that her family would get what she wanted to leave to them, not the state, in this case, of Arizona. Call me during the break, 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. Make an appointment. Get to the workshop, but do something. Begin to move forward and make sure you get to keep what you worked a lifetime for. Be back in a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. How do we prepare for what's coming? I want to talk about somebody that came.
Well, prepare presupposes that you do something, right?
That you do something, yes. Okay, I don't know how many of you have lived in California for a while, but when we lived in the Bay Area, where they have earthquakes, we had an earthquake kit. Everybody I know of that lives in Los Angeles, that has a brain in their head, that lives in Los Angeles or San Diego or Seattle, we don't get a lot of earthquakes in Sacramento. But if you lived in the Bay Area or some places, one of my sons lives in a country that has earthquakes like daily. Everybody has an earthquake kit. Now, I've been in earthquakes. I've been in three really good ones, okay? And I never needed to use the kit.
But it doesn't mean you don't need the kit.
But I had the kit. I always had the kit. We always had a certain amount of water. We always had first aid. We always had several days of food. We had backup batteries. We had, and some of this was before they had cell phones, folks. But you had backup batteries for flashlights. You had backup batteries for all kinds of things. You had a kit. And even though you didn't, the earthquake may not have been so bad that you needed it, you knew that the earthquake was going to happen.
So let me ask you this. You've been in three earthquakes. You haven't used your kit yet. So do you have the sense that the kit or compiling it or buying it was a complete waste of time and money?
Absolutely not.
I mean, did you just say, oh, we'll need it later?
When's later? That's my point. In your life, there's going to be, I can guarantee it, there's going to be an earthquake.
Yeah.
It is going to happen in your life. It's called getting older. It's called frailty. Don't know when it's going to happen. Don't know when you're not going to be able to walk anymore. Don't know when you're going to be demented. By the way, half of all people over age 85 have some form of dementia. Let that statistic set in for a while.
Well, and we don't know how severe it's going to be.
Don't know whether it's going to be an 8.0 or is it going to be only a 4.5.
But when it's bad, it's bad. And then it's too late, right? If you had to wait till the 8.0 and then you said, oh, well, now I need to call to get that earthquake kit.
You know, a lot of people, this is a true story, folks. Do you know when most people think about flood insurance?
When it's raining?
After the flood has happened. It's amazing how many people, if you talk to insurance agents, property and casualty insurance agents, they will tell you they are stunned at how many phone calls they get after the rivers rise and the dam is up asking if they can now get flood insurance. The answer, by the way, is no. Okay. We live, by the way, in a floodplain. If you live in Sacramento, you live, for the most part, if you live in Auburn, maybe you don't, but otherwise, you live in a floodplain. I was living in Yuba City when the levees broke in Marysville, okay? So I know what it's like to be confronted with a flood.
I remember driving through 2 feet of water in Natomas and Rio Linda.
We know that the flood's going to happen. We know that the earthquake's going to happen. We know that aging is going to happen. At what point do you begin to get serious about, okay, do I want to have to rebuild my house with no help because I didn't have earthquake or flood insurance, or when the flood or earthquake comes, I get to rebuild the house without spending money out of my pocket? The same thing is true with aging. When the event happens where your mom or your dad or you or grandma or grandpa or whoever it is can't take care of themselves, do you want to just flush it and give it to the government, or do you want to make sure it's protected and goes to your family? It's an uncomplicated choice. The earthquake in your life is coming. The earthquake, in my case, is a metaphor for aging, but the earthquake is coming.
Well, and the fact that you were prepared as much as you could be with a plan, an evacuation plan, a kit with supplies that you would need to get you through the first 72 or 96 whatever hours of that, that's crucial, because when it happens, it's just too late. You can't do anything. And I think you and I get similar phone calls. Well, Dad just had a stroke. He's sitting in the nursing home. Can you help me? And very often, that answer is no, or it's really a lot harder to deal with.
I had we had somebody in my workshop, yard workshop last week, that has been to, I don't know,
a couple
and probably seen both of us at least once.
Yeah.
Okay. And they wanted to set up an appointment, and I politely said no. If you've listened to me for all these years, you've been to a couple workshops. You've actually come in to see us, me or Dustin, I forget which one, had been in to see us before, then you're not serious. What you want to do is kick the tires, and you want to get as close to the earthquake as you can get, and hope that the day before the earthquake comes, then you'll do it. This is something that you can't think about. We know if we live in California, if you live in, we had some friends once who lived in Kansas. They lost not one, but two houses to tornadoes. And when I say lost, I mean lost.
They were splintered in toothpicks.
There was nothing standing. They lived in Kansas. They knew there were going to be tornadoes. They didn't know that the tornado would hit their house, but they knew there were going to be tornadoes. They had insurance. They rebuilt twice.
You know who my best, and you might even have similar experience, but my best clients when it comes to protecting assets are the children of clients who have lost everything.
Because
they'll come in and they'll say, I don't want my children to go through what I went through, so I'm doing this.
It's something that's easy to do, folks, but it does take some effort. You actually have to turn off the TV, get up out of the chair, go to a phone or the website, and arrange to either come and see me or get to one of our workshops. Our next workshop is on the 26th. It's 10:30 in the morning. It's free. Please nobody call me and ask me how much the workshop costs. It's free. It's going to be in Sacramento, in the Sacramento area, actually in Fair Oaks. It'll be about an hour long. There'll be some coffee and donuts, and we're going to talk very, very seriously about this. But this is kind of a caveat. If this is a subject that is not you don't care about and you don't really care what happens to your money or your family or whatever, then it's not for you. Because we're looking for people to come who are tired of giving things to the government. They've paid enough in taxes. They've paid enough in fees, which is the new word for taxes. They've paid enough work, enough in this and that and the other thing. And what they'd like to make sure that they do is at the end of their life, protect what they do have for their children, their grandchildren, the people in life that they love. If you're serious about that, then get up, get out of the chair, make the phone call, go to the website, assetsandaging.com, and either come in and see me. The consultation, by the way, is also free, or get to the workshop. Any closing thoughts, Mr. McFarland, before we wrap it up here?
You know, I just want to reiterate that what you said, that you have to be serious about this. When I say serious, if there's advice that we give, that you have to be ready to do it. You have to be ready to move forward. And if this is just something you want to just hear another opinion or somebody else's thoughts, this really isn't for you. It's not something that is just kind of a bunch of fluff and feel good. There's work to be done to protect what you have. It's building that earthquake kit, and we have to do it.
Absolutely have to do it. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com, where you can not only see hear this radio program, but see it, because it will also be downloaded as an audio and a video podcast. Until you've seen us in person, folks, you haven't lived. 800-999-8007.
Watching these videos is making me want to go back to the gym.
Or assetsandaging.com. 800-999-8007. I look forward to seeing you at the workshop or right here next Sunday on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.